Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
On today's Part of My Take, week 3 in the NFL, we have your fastest 2 minutes. We have Tiger Woods being fully back, football guy of the week, and Mike Lombardi, who joins us, talks about week 3 NFL, talks about working for Bill Belichick, what's wrong with the Patriots, all the good stuff.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go. It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Monday, September 24th, week 3. We start with our Thursday night game. 635 days ago, a gallon of gas cost a nickel, a carton of eggs a penny, and your Schwamm still had hair. That's how long it has been since the Cleveland Browns won a football game. But the crowd in Cleveland, much like their river, was on fire Thursday night, and their savior arrived. For once, the turnovers were off the menu at this bakery. Hey, Cleveland, no more blue balls. This Nick Chubby is for real. Browns 21, Jets 17. This recap was brought to you by Bud Light and the Bud Light Victory Fridges. Sponsored by Bud Light.
Wake up, Crabtree. I think I got something to say to you. It's late September, and the Ravens took Denver back to school. Little Rod Stewart from the Schwamm.
I love when you do that, Schwamm.
Philip Lindsay Lohan had issues with authority as he couldn't resist the crack and got caught on camera with a crotch shot of his own. Suitcase Keenum couldn't carpetbag his way into the end zone as the Ravens got back on the right side of the win column. 27-14.
What? The Buffalo Bills were 16.5-point underdogs in Minnesota Sunday. There's no way they could. No. You're telling me?
Huh?
Well, folks, that's why they play the games. We start in the first half, where Josh Allen Wrench showed that he's a five-tool player, passing, running, jumping, diving, and recovering his own fumbles, and the Vikings were the ones getting screwed. Kirk Cousins never closes his eyes anymore when you kiss his lips, Minnesota, because he's lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. He's lost that loving feeling, and the Vikings' NFC North lead is gone, gone, gone.
Hey, Teach.
Yeah, Boom.
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Fumble! We head to Arrowhead, where Patrick Starfish Mahomes said, "This sports ball game is easy." As he and the Chiefs continue to dine at the Krusty Krab. On the other sideline, the Chum Bucket menu didn't have many catches of the day, but the one bright spot remains George Kittle Caboodle, which sums up the 49ers' performance yesterday, a whole mess of dog food. The Kool-Aid man is walking through that door as Andy Reid has his boys 3-0 with a 38-27 win.
Hey, Boom.
Yeah, Teach.
They say that age is just a number, and I gotta say, that was a great reference to Patrick Starfish Mahomes.
Thanks. It's a little something for the millennials out there with their cartoons.
In Hotlanta, where a battle for the NFC South broke out, and Calvin Ridley me this, Ridley me that, asked, can Steve Sarkisian get a wide receiver stats? The answer is yes, but the Saints went score for score as Taysom King of the Hill put his foot on the gas, selling propane and propane accessories all up in the Falcons' Tevin Coleman grill. Alvin Kamara Sutra was doing it from multiple positions so well Eugene Robinson tried to pay him for sex the night before the game. The Saints flipped the Falcons the Dirty Birds as Drew Brees' Christ said, "That's not a birthmark, that's just a sign of stigmata on my cheek." Saints go marching. 43-37.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Terrell John Maryland, a.k.a. the Slippy Tundra, as the Green Day Packers are saying, "Wake me up when September ends." The story of the game was Clay Travis Matthews getting triggered online and leaving all the sons of Wisconsin scratching their heads like they had lice. Are the seat warmers on in your car, Mike McCarthy, or is that just a wet fart? Redskins 31, Packers 17.
In the Pacific Northwest, Tavon was Austin in translation as the Cowboys' offense continues to sputter. Chris Carsonogen was running with lead paint in his belly and cigarette smoke coming out of his ass. My name is Earl Thomas. Made a list of everyone that has wronged him in his quest to hit the contract lottery. Seahawks back on track. 24-13.
The Battle of Los Angeles took place at the Coliseum Sunway, and I'll testify that the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL. Robert Tiger Woods is back as the Rams offense is fucking everything in sight. Todd, Larry, Gurley, and Moe made Anthony Lynn, Ken Wisenhunt, and Gus Bradley look like the Three Stooges. Nyuk, 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 nyuk. With a win, Sean McVay earns the right to be head coach most LA fans will pretend to care about until Lakers season starts. Rams 35, the Los Angeles Football Chargers 23.
Whoop!
The beautiful Powder Blues.
Whoop!
Favorite jerseys. Let the Schwamm be the first to wish Josh Rosen and Tariq Cohen a late Happy New Year as the Red Sea parted just enough in Glen.
Oh, okay. Because it's funny because he's the first in his slate.
Happy New Year.
All right. Okay. I feel like I'm high.
Okay. Let the Schwamm be the first to wish Josh Rosen and Tariq Cohen a late Happy New Year as the Red Sea parted just enough in Glendale to let Matt Nagy's people go for a comeback win. Sam Bradford's sleeves are a better fit than he is as far as the offense goes. If Josh Rosen really loved football, maybe he wouldn't let the Bears' defense take it away from him so much. The Bears are now your NFC North division leaders, 16-14.
Woo! All right, I think that's all the games, right? That's all the teams?
Yeah, it was all the teams. And yep. Let me say, that was a wild and crazy week three. Now, yep. We're going to get to Tiger, so don't worry. Yep. Tiger's obviously a big story. But week three NFL, it was the everyone is a fucking idiot and has shit for brains week because mm-hmm. all the teams that we have decided are dead are alive again.
Mm-hmm. I think we can actually do the parity clock right now.
Yes.
Where every team beats every team now that the Browns won. Because the Browns beat the Jets, who beat the Lions,
who beat the Patriots.
Right.
Ipso facto, the Browns are better than the Patriots.
It is the Bills go into the Vikings, well, in the middle of Wisconsin, because that was a great graphic that the Bills tweeted out there. They didn't know where Minnesota was.
Classic misdirection.
Yes. So they go into Minnesota as 16.5, 17-point underdogs. They win outright and kick the shit out of the Vikings.
Absolute shit kick. Shit pumping, I would say.
It was the game you forgot existed because Red Zone didn't show it for the last three quarters.
Yeah, they showed it in the first quarter when there were like two fumbles, two touchdowns, and a field goal like in the first 5-6 minutes of the
game.
Josh Allen.
Pretty sick.
Jumping over people.
Pretty sick.
I'm going to say it. Josh Allen, better running quarterback than Cam Newton.
Yeah, that was one of those hurdles. Like, he definitely went to the sideline, and Sean McDermott was like, hey, that was awesome. Don't ever fucking do that again.
It was pretty sweet, though, because there was you could take a still of his midair leap, and there is a split second where his testicles are just resting.
Dropping.
Was it Anthony Barr's head?
Yeah.
They're just, like, nicely nestled on the crown of his helmet.
Perfect recap of the game.
Helmet-to-helmet hit, actually.
Yes.
Could have been flagged for lowering your helmet to initiate contact.
Yes, there it is. So we had that one. We had the Cardinals being frisky. We had the Giants going down to Texas.
Well, no, they stayed in Texas.
They stayed in Texas, beating the Texans pretty handily. So now the question is, our done chain. Yep. Do we put it on the Texans? They're 0-3. Deshaun Watson looks lost. Mike Lombardi, who we have on coming up in a minute, pointed it out that it seems like every time the Texans have the ball, they start at like 1st and 15 or 2nd and 27.
Yeah, I am going to hang the done chain on the Houston Texans.
Done.
I'm done with them. And it's
Sundays
not
the win next week.
Like, here's the thing.
Yeah, they're going to win because we've already hung the chain on the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Bills.
Bubba, can you look up who the Texans are playing next week?
Doesn't matter.
They're going to win.
Doesn't matter. But they're going to win.
The done chain is on them. I didn't think that Deshaun Watson was going to have a great year this year because, like, Adrian Peterson screwed it up for everybody by coming back from that ACL so quickly. They're like, oh, Deshaun will be fine this year. It's been 8 months since he tore his ACL. It's going to be, like, a year and a half before he gets back to normal.
And
they're playing the Colts.
They're going to beat the Colts. Rivalry game.
In Indianapolis?
Doesn't matter.
Ooh.
Do you see Frank Reich with a condom on his mouthpiece today?
Fantastic.
On his radio set?
Safe play calling.
Yeah.
But the real story from the Colts game? So the Colts are frisky. They're going to put in my frisky category. It's good teams, bad teams, frisky teams. They're in the frisky team category. But did you notice at the end of the game when the Colts wanted to go Hail Mary, they brought in Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck's shoulder.
And, well,
maybe not as healthy as we think it is.
And also, Andrew Luck is an atheist, so Hail Mary, not a great play call for him. Same thing with Josh Rosen. They should have taken him out. And just have like a Catholic that's on the bench ready to come in.
Let's talk about that real quick. Josh Rosen, that was the meanest thing that any coach has ever done to his players.
Yeah.
So the Bears really, I mean, the Bears basically sleptwalked the first quarter and it looked like they were going to lose. Their defense is awesome. And they come back, they go up two with like 2.5 minutes left. And then Steve Wilkes is like, you know what? Let's throw in the rookie quarterback, totally no pressure situation, has to go 80 yards against a great pass rush for his first NFL action. Oh, whoops, he threw an interception.
Yeah, that was really fucked up of him to do
Very
that. While we were watching it, I was like, this is really mean.
Really
like,
mean.
He's just a mean guy.
He
must hate Josh. Well, it's a test. Like,
yes,
does Josh Rosen actually love football? Because if you do love it, then you'll love getting the shit kicked out of you for 40 yards before you throw an interception.
Yes.
So you know what they should do? They should have David Carr just on the bench ready to come in a situation where a coach knows that their quarterback is going to get hit a million times.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the crash test dummy.
Yes.
Just put him out there.
Jimmy G, probably out for the year. That sucks because there is definitely an element of you don't want good – like how – in years when you look back, like, all right, was this a good NFL year? Were the games fun? You can directly correlate to how many quarterbacks got injured. And when quarterbacks like Jimmy G gets injured, we now have probably a Monday Night Football game, probably a couple Sunday Night Football games with CJ Beathard.
Well, that's probably what they're going to do too.
That's a terrible thing.
When I saw, like, okay, Beathard's their backup, or are they going to go out and get somebody? I think John Lynch is going to be like, we trust our guy. This is our guy, and he's been in training camp with us. Everybody on the team likes him, even though he stinks out loud. So
You know who's out there in the same division? They probably never trade in division.
Glennon.
Yeah. And Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford,
two
actually.
For one. Trade for both of them.
Tell you what, we'll give you a third first-round pick if you throw Glennon into the equation for us. And we'll pay them both $15 million a year. No, it's absolutely going to happen. Like, I think they'll go through some struggles with Beathard, then they'll make their decision. But what they should do is they should go out and get a quarterback right now. Like, Tyrod Taylor is probably going to be out there.
Yep.
And we can talk about that a little bit because we didn't get a chance to recap the Browns-Jets game after Thursday night.
Oh, my God.
What? Are you okay?
Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
No, I'm looking at the 49ers schedule right now.
You want to walk us through it?
They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 primetime games coming up.
Jesus Christ.
CJ Beathard is going to be a household name.
Listen, we need to get quarterback there. We need to get another guy in their stat.
They have five primetime games in 7 weeks. Jesus. Like, all right, so everyone who's listening to this right now, sit down, close your eyes, and just be like, "Hey, listen, we're gonna have to get up close and personal with CJ Beathard. We're gonna have to like spend a lot of time with him. It's basically like going to your you know family reunion, and the crazy aunt's gonna be there, and you're like, all right, we're gonna have to talk to her. It's fine, just you know, be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, whatever. This is what our relationship with CJ Beathard is gonna be. We're gonna see him 5 times in the next 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just get used to it." And grin, bear it, put on a smile, be like, hey, it's football.
It's like,
that's what we're going to do.
It's like
we're going to do it.
Yeah, it's like looking at an upcoming wedding season, and your calendar is filled with a bunch of weddings of people that you don't necessarily want to go to, but you're like, you know what? This is what summer is now. So
got to do it.
We're going to put on a happy face, and we're going to say nothing but nice things about CJ when he's around.
Yep.
Hey, CJ, your beard actually looks really cool and not at all like a burnt out
Iowa?
Grateful Dead fan.
What? Yeah, you went to Iowa, so that's cool.
Yeah, probably ate a lot of red meat while you were there, huh?
Yeah. Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
He went to Iowa.
He was a
Dallas Clark.
He got hurt a lot.
Yeah.
So did he.
Iowa lost to Wisconsin. Alex Hornibrook. Probably
a
Heisman.
Well, yeah, we have a lot in common, CJ. Yeah. So is Jimmy around or is he just what's going on with him?
So the other story of that game, Patrick Mahomes continues to be the most electric player in the NFL. I think he's going to be the first player ever in his rookie year to win MVP and automatic induction to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, and Rookie of the Year, too.
And Rookie
because
of the Year.
He didn't really play.
Well, no, I don't even think they'll give him Rookie of the Year. Be like, you know what? Let's just give him MVP. He's so damn good.
Well, no, he gets the Ben Simmons Rookie of the
Year. Yeah, that's true.
As the second-year guy that everyone forgot was not a rookie.
He's incredible.
Year. Yeah.
And the plays he's making, I don't know if this is going to last because I feel like this is – I don't want to say anything mean about Andy Reid. But
no, well, we all know that Andy, he takes a sharp dip after Halloween.
Quick side tangent.
He goes into stage 2 diabetes and never comes back.
Quick side tangent. Fourth quarter, the Bears are down 1. They need a field goal, and it's 4th and 1, and Matt Nagy takes a timeout before he decides to kick the field goal and not go for it. That is the most Andy Reid coaching tree move of all time. He literally was like, what is this? What is this timeout doing in my pocket? Let's get rid of it. It's going to be a close game. I don't want this.
You have to think about it. That's what you have to do.
Patrick Mahomes. At some point, they're going to have to come back down to earth because they're playing at such an insane level. And Andy Reid, we've seen this Andy Reid, you know, start of the season, on fire. But even with that said, even if he comes back a little bit, like if he plays 75% what he's playing right now, he's still like the most electric quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to keep tying things back to food with Andy Reid, but you know how your stomach gets full and your brain doesn't realize it until, like, you know, 15 minutes after you've kept
eating?
Like
being a lab, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Andy Reid is like, he burns through his playbook so fast. He's like, this is great, this is great, this is great. Not realizing, oh, shit, I'm about to use up all my good plays.
There's 16 weeks.
Yeah, there's 16 weeks in the season.
Weeks,
so
yeah.
Things are going to come back to earth, I'm pretty sure. But it's mind-boggling to me that Alex Smith played in the same system as Patrick Mahomes and didn't throw a touchdown to a single wide receiver
for
a year and a half. Well, it's similar.
But no, because they're throwing it deep. They're throwing like
Alex Smith threw it deep last year.
Yeah, but every time you watch a Chiefs game, there's guys open all over the place, and Patrick Mahomes' arm is very much different than Alex Smith's arm.
It is. Well,
so
yes,
they're clearly playing to his strengths and going deep like this. And they also have, I mean, Tyreek Hill is a top 3 wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, he's just so fast. And then you can just, and with an arm like Mahomes, you can outthrow any defensive back.
Right.
And by the time it gets there, he's already behind you. One thing that we do very well on this program, if I may pat ourselves on the back,
let's go,
is we find little tiny things to get annoyed by players that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
So
here we go.
But
Patrick Mahomes, come on down.
But I'm struggling with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Let's find a reason.
I got something. Do you want me to throw something out there?
Yeah.
He wears too many things on his wrists. So he's got like the... I don't know if it's a Livestrong, whatever. It might be a lot of bracelets. Bracelets, watches. It's just a little too much for me. So take that and let's just make a big point out of that. Like, you know what? Patrick Mahomes thinks he's way too...
He supports too many causes.
Yeah. You know what?
Pick one, buddy.
Yeah, pick one. Get really behind one because everyone else is like, you got 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Uh-huh.
Maybe tone it down. Maybe just go some stuff on your left wrist, okay? We don't need both wrists here.
Okay, how about this one? He's got a floppy head.
Yeah.
So, like, the headband. No, not the headband. I'm talking like when he's got his helmet on, his neck, it looks a little bit loose sometimes, and he just flops his head around.
Okay. The headband... That's Baker Mayfield's thing.
I like the headband on him.
Yeah.
Here's another one. He plays in rinky-dink Mickey Mouse systems. Mm. He's a Mickey Mouse quarterback. He played for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
And now he's playing in this fast and loose Andy Reid offense. So he's a Mickey Mouse guy.
Speaking of which, do you want to do just a really quick side tangent here? The time that Patrick Mahomes played against Baker Mayfield in college.
Yeah. These stats are unreal. Yeah.
Okay. So they played against each other in 2016. The game was Oklahoma 66, Texas Tech 59. Baker Mayfield threw for 545 yards and 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes threw for 734 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And also Patrick Mahomes ran for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Jesus Christ.
And, a side piece is Joe Mixon had 263 rushing yards.
I honestly believe that you could put, like, 5 defenders out there and limit them to less than 700 yards
passing. It's unreal. So both these guys and Baker, we obviously missed Thursday night. Pup Punk was great in Boston. We didn't record till we recorded before, but Baker is also electric. So the quarterback class of this year has basically between Josh Allen going to Minnesota, stunner, Baker Mayfield winning for the Browns for the first time in forever. I guess Patrick Mahomes is the last year's quarterback class. Sam Darnold, he beat the Lions that one time, and then Josh Rosen, nice pick. But seriously, the last two quarterback classes, you know, if you throw in Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky, those are some great quarterbacks coming up. The league is in good hands, guys.
The future is very, very bright as far as the quarterbacks go. And we know that they're damn sure going to make sure that they stay healthy because you're not allowed to touch them.
Yes, I was about to say.
I do like how Clay Matthews has become the new Vontaze Burfict. Like this is not something that he had a reputation for before, as far as I know.
No.
But this year...
Well, he had a reputation as kind of a dumb player at times.
What's the hair?
Yeah.
It's discriminatory against guys with long hair. I get it all the time when I'm going through airport security. I get my bags double-checked. They're like... All right, seriously, dude, where's the weed?
But
we know that there's weed. Point it out to me.
Here's what he did, though. Clay Matthews, so again, second week in a row that he gets a – actually, third week in a row. Yeah. Every single week he's had
– He's going to get be the first player to get suspended for not rolling away from a quarterback in midair.
Yes, but he did throw the gauntlet, and in his post-game comments threw out the S-word. Called the league soft.
The league's getting soft.
I actually think that they will. That's like a calculated move by him. He will get fined, but I bet you that he won't get the same calls. Like he won't get penalized over and over like he has been because you don't want to get called soft.
No, you don't.
You cannot get called soft.
Goodell's not going to take
that. You do not let that happen.
And then, of course, we have to ask: Are the Patriots done?
Did the Lions kill the Patriots?
Hank, I'm actually asking if we need to hang the Dunn chain on the Patriots.
Okay.
You want to do Sorry Sorrows?
Wait, hold on. Let's talk about this like adults. The Patriots are still going to probably win the AFC East, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. We're just going to completely neglect the Miami Dolphins.
No, they are. They are. We're all going to say it. You could probably even say they'll go to the AFC Championship. But with that said, that was one of the slowest Patriots teams I've ever seen play. Like, they looked like they were moving in slow motion against the Lions, both on offense and defense.
They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, on offense, you could excuse away by saying they don't really have that much talent at wide receiver right now.
Gordon is going to obviously be
right
there.
So, that's going to change, especially having Edelman do that thing where he just kind of runs back and forth routes 5 yards away from the line of scrimmage and drawing linebacker coverage.
Like, yeah, he runs.
He runs 5 yards left, straight ahead and then left, then right, then left, and then he hits him with the pass.
Yeah, he goes 45 degree angle left and then comes back right and he's always open.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
the route. That's his route tree. Yeah.
So once they get that in place, it's going to be different offense, but The bigger concern is the defense, because the defense looks slow. Basura. Yeah. I'm going to do the basura again.
What's that?
Espanol for trash.
Ooh.
Because I say trash too much. So
what did it look like they were running in?
Quicksand.
No.
Cement.
The shoes.
Oh, Balencias.
Balencias. When you said that to me, I thought you were speaking a different language. But I guess that's the hot in the streets.
What are those,
right?
Hank? Are those Chelsea boots?
No, not Chelsea boots.
Just hot sneakers.
Yeah, they're
okay.
Hot sneakers.
Yeah, they did look like they were running hot sneakers.
Yes,
they were very, very slow in defense. I got to wonder how much Matt Patricia, because like obviously he's not coaching the Lions offense. That's Jimbo Cooter. Mm-hmm. That's up to that. But you have to wonder how much Patricia was like, hey, this is what you look for. This is where like the soft spots on the Patriots defense are, because I know.
Do I get
any alpha the shit out of McDaniels?
Yeah. Do I get any credit for lighting a fire under Patricia's ass by saying that the team quit on him week one?
Maybe.
Those are your sources.
My source was myself.
Yeah.
My source was my eyeballs and my gut.
That and Colin Cowherd doing the hat saber metrics on him, too,
which we actually had before him. And what has Matt Patricia done in the last 2 weeks? He's worn the hat forward, and what has he done? He's covered in one.
Yeah, you know what? Matt Patricia, he had a glow-up.
Yeah.
He looked hot tonight. He had the hat on forward. He had the beard looking nice, and he wore black. And it was very slim. I was like, is that Matt Patricia or Chris Pratt on the sidelines?
He also had the post-game hug with Belichick. You could just tell in his eyes that he wanted to hang on just a little bit longer and have Belichick's like whisper him, you've done well, son.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you. Yeah. Everything you've done. But Belichick just turned around and walked right off. Patricia even gave him a little pat on the back like, hey, do you remember me, Dad? Yeah. He's like, nah, fuck this.
If you watch the All-22 on that handshake, Belichick starts to walk away, and Patricia takes like three steps following him.
Like, are we walking together?
Yeah, he's just like, it's like old times, buddy.
Yeah.
Right, Dad?
Nope.
And then his dad's like, nope, son. I'm going to go to the bar.
And I'm going to ruin you. I'm going to make sure that somehow we make a trade that robs you of all your future draft picks for some shitty over-the-hill player.
So Hank, seriously, scale 1 to 10, how concerned are you? Scale of 9 to 10, how concerned are you?
6.
Okay.
Scale 1 to 10, like a 6.
What scale 9 to 10?
9.
Okay, so you're 9. So Hank's a 9.
Hank's a 9 on the nervous scale.
That's the lowest on that scale.
You're a 6 on the other one.
6. 1 out of 10, I'm a 6.
6 seems high.
That is pretty high. So last year, if I'd asked you this question after they lost to the Chiefs, you would have said like 0, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's different about this year?
They gave away a ton of their players.
They lost 2 weeks in a row, which barely ever happens.
Okay,
to
so
them.
That's
by double digits.
So Hank, that's something that can't be fixed. They gave away all their players. Yeah. So why would that not concern you more?
What do you mean?
You just said they gave away all their players.
They still had Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
They got some back though.
And they have Josh Gordon potentially.
And but it hurts too that the Texans suck, and that's their only win. So if it was the BCS rankings came out, they would be very low.
Yeah, but as we talked about in the beginning of the show, it's all a circle of life.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I have to ask the question, is the NFC Norris, shout out Chris Berman, division the worst division in football?
No, because the Bears are dominant.
Yeah, exactly. The Bears are on top
of it. Oh, they've ruined the NFC North. Yeah, that would probably – I'd agree with that.
Because, I mean, the Packers looked like junk.
Here's something to put
in your – like I said, Kirk Cousins is a nerd.
Here's something to put in your back pocket. The Vikings are going to beat the Rams on Thursday night because the Rams are the best team in football, we can all agree. And if I learned anything from this week – and it's that the week before, don't take anything the week before and put it on this week. So, actually, I just talked myself into not doing what I said. The Rams are going to win.
Wait, no.
No.
But on the other hand,
right.
By your logic.
By your logic, the Vikings are going to beat the Rams by 50
points.
But I
learned it this week, so I have to unlearn it next week.
Oh, you're including your learning
in
things that can change.
I learned this week to not take what you learned the week before and put it into your betting on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next week, I have to unlearn the fact that I learned to not take the week before and put it into this week. Mm-hmm. It's like memento. I'm stuck in memento. I'm just going to forget every week because the lesson is to unlearn what you learned.
Okay. I think I follow you. So, in other words, I just have to get a bunch of stupid tattoos on my body.
Yes, pretty much.
That'll prove myself wrong.
And that's
wrong.
The end of the story. But the Rams are the best team in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I think Rams.
Who else would be?
Yeah, Rams are probably the most complete team so far. Chiefs are really good, but their
can't
defense.
Stop anyone,
yeah, their defense is not that great.
Yeah,
we'll see. I mean, if the Bucs go in, or it's in Tampa, right?
In Tampa.
So Ben Roethlisberger is going to wake up very confused about where he is tomorrow morning. Probably in a strip club with Hulk Hogan.
Yes,
hanging out with him, and he's going to throw for 4 interceptions and lose 2 fumbles where he looks like he's actually like a blind man.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, it'll be great Monday Night Football game.
Any other thoughts, week three?
I guess we talk a little college football.
Oh, okay. What did you want to talk about?
I mean, we could talk about
Wisconsin back.
Oregon just absolutely shitting the bed.
Yeah, they puked on themselves. That was big time. David Shaw is one of those coaches that he's the unflappable. Like, he'll make sure that if a team is inferior, that they play to 3 points, and he'll make sure that if he's down by a ton like he was at halftime to Oregon, that they'll play to 3 points or seven. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he is a water find your level coach where every game feels as tight as it could be.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds awesome, man. Yeah. Fellas, how many beers?
Very tight. Yeah. You just want to talk about it because you had Oregon, so just say that.
No,
so we can talk about it in that respect.
I did have Oregon, but that's not why I was going to bring it up. I was just going to say that
all of a sudden PFD's like, hey, can we talk college football? For a second.
Two things. One, I just want to say this in the nicest way possible, but Stanford is the most annoying college football team to play against.
Yep.
They're just like always tapping you on your shoulder, like, hey, I'm still here. Hey, what's up? I'm still here.
Yep.
Just annoying the fuck out of me. There was the Army-Oklahoma game, which was only available on pay-per-view.
It's not on TV. Yep.
Which, I mean, is that disrespectful to the troops to hide them behind a paywall?
I'd say so.
The troops are pivoting to video.
Absolutely.
They're working for the Athletic now.
Yep.
That was annoying.
And
I'm just going to say it was annoying, and I didn't like it. And you know what they should do? They should just make the national anthem pay-per-view for NFL games and see who the real Patriots out there are.
There you go.
If you want it so bad, then pony up some cash.
Any other college thoughts?
No, not really. It's about it. I mean, Alabama's fucking good.
I did like that you're like, for the first time, like, hey, let's talk college. Because I knew you had Oregon. That was a terrible beat.
I mean,
that was an all-time bad beat. And the other all-time bad beat was Wisconsin covering the over on a fake fullback dive, fullback sweep.
Yes.
That went for 40 yards.
Yeah. They weren't.
And he should have just gone down.
They weren't even trying to score.
Yeah.
Which
we're not trying to
score. It's a very unfullback move to not take a knee at the one.
Yeah.
On that.
How zen is that? A Wisconsin-Iowa game, if you just try to stop scoring, you'll probably score.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
One other thing that pissed me off this weekend about football is every time a trick play is run, the announcers say, oh, that's a Philly special.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter who's throwing it, who's catching it.
It's
like the RPO.
Yes.
It's the all-encompassing term for a read option pass. Now this is every trick play, every gadget play.
That's absolutely true.
It got we started calling trick plays gadget plays back in 2005, I believe, when the Steelers were making their postseason runs.
Well, it was Bill Cowher. Every time he got over the 50, the next play would be a gadget play.
Yeah, because Ben Roethlisberger couldn't really pass the ball.
Right.
So they would have Hines Ward and Antoine Randall just go out there and play backyard football, and they call it a gadget play. And that name lasted for 13 years, and now it's changed. Now every gadget play is the Philly special.
Sponsored by Bud Light.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also worth asking if Virginia is the least reliable state in the country.
Oh, yeah, Virginia Tech just losing their Old Dominion, which, you know, it brought on the classic Revell. Revell loves nothing more than to tweet about a big school playing a small school and how much the big school had to pay the small school.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech's quarterback went out, but yeah, that was awesome. That Old Dominion, like, that's a once in a lifetime for if you're an Old Dominion person, which how many?
Yeah, they're not very
good. Yeah, the coach had the classic, like, it was my wife, my two sons beating Virginia, like, highlights of my life in that order.
Virginia Tech. You know what? Those coaches have, like, a little upper hand getting off the bus to go into the stadium to play, like, a big team like that when they're a neighbor. You just say, hey, just a reminder, this guy, this coach that you're about to play against, he didn't recruit you.
He didn't want you.
He didn't recruit
you
guys.
He didn't want you.
That's how, Jamie, you did that to Virginia Tech back in 2011.
Yeah. You guys are just misfits.
2012.
Yeah. He didn't want you. He didn't want to come to your living room.
Yeah. So
he
now,
eat your mom's
so now the list of teams that you don't want to schedule if you're a Division I school is Appalachian State.
Yeah.
And ODU.
Yeah. There it is. And Hank brings up a great point. Virginia lost to 16 seed. Virginia Tech lost to Old Dominion.
Good point.
Bad sports state.
Is UVA football good?
No.
Okay. But they've won me money the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
no,
I think they're good.
Yeah. All right, let's do our who's back and then we'll go. No, not sorry, Chris. We'll do our who's back and then we'll do football guy of the week. So for who's back, I didn't write down a who's back, so I might as well just start with it. It's Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is all the way back. He won the tour championship. Is that right?
The tour championship. He is the tour champion.
It was so confusing.
But he didn't win the championship of the PGA Tour, which is the FedEx Cup.
Yeah. But here is why this moment was special, because NFL Sunday dominates everything, right? But Tiger Woods still was able to, like, break through to anyone who's even watching football who doesn't even care about golf, knew that Tiger Woods was doing this and knew that Tiger Woods was winning for the first time in forever.
Go Tiger.
And knew that Tiger Woods had, like, the galleries that were following him were incredible. Incredible. Like, old school Tiger Woods. So Tiger Woods is all the way back. And his swag level by walking in with his red shirt, his golf shirt, on a hanger like it was a fucking tuxedo was unbelievable. Biceps bursting, and he's just walking with his red shirt like precious cargo. No one touched the red shirt. It's a fucking, it's a red dry fit Nike shirt.
And he kept doing the thing where he was like scratching his back because he knew the camera was on him so he could show off the guns a little bit.
Here you go.
Yeah, he, the swag was in full effect for Tiger for sure.
But it was cool. It was a cool moment. Obviously, he still needs to win a, I think we all agree.
Ryder Cup.
Him winning a major is going to be the real, okay, Tiger's back, but him just winning an event is a big deal because it's been very, very long, and a lot of people, myself included, thought he would probably never be at this level again because he's, his back got transfused from all that fucking.
Tiger is definitely back. Yeah. That's exactly how he broke his back.
Oh, he fucked too much.
He just.
That's why I don't have sex.
Yeah, he fucked his back out.
I care too much about my back.
Is he really back, though, if there was only 30 players in the tournament?
It was the 30 best.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
Isn't every tournament the 30 best players that.
No, this is.
Who that make
like,
the cut are the.
It's usually like, what, 70 players that make the cut?
No, because what I mean is it was the 30 best in, like, it was the actual 30 best, whereas when they play these other tournaments, I feel like these random schlubs just get hot for one weekend and can beat anyone.
Mm.
I think he still is very much bad. He won a tournament event. He won a tournament.
I don't know what it says about us just as a society that we love seeing people just, like, torn apart, and then we love to see them be very, very happy and cry once they overcome tearing themselves apart.
Yeah.
But we
It's redemption.
But we do.
Everyone likes a redemption story. Yeah.
So, yeah, Tiger's definitely back.
Who's
back of the week is online sleuths investigating Twitter likes.
Ooh.
So did you guys see this? Did you read about this with Le'Veon Bell?
No.
So word came out Sunday morning that Le'Veon, or that the Steelers were listening to trade offers from other teams.
Hmm.
So I think as first reported on Part of My Take, who did we say? Jerry Jones was going to go after
him?
So they're listening to offers, and then later today, Le'Veon Bell liked a tweet, and the tweet was a video, and the caption of the video was, "This is Le'Veon Bell's last play as a Steeler," and it was like a play from last year.
Ooh.
So he
losing
liked
to
it.
The Jaguars?
I forget what it was. Maybe. It probably was.
Yeah.
So it's a long tradition in America to investigate people's likes. It goes all the way back to Ted Cruz with that incest porn thing.
Yes. Now, how many likes does he have? Because that's important. Because I have
not many.
Way too many likes. So if anyone ever says, "Hey, wow, you like that?" I subconsciously like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm smashing the like. It's more of a, "Hey, I see that
acknowledge
you're here."
This.
Yeah. I acknowledge your existence online.
Yeah. So, no, Le'Veon Bell does not have that many Twitter likes.
So then
likes.
It means something.
And now, if you had gone back like a year or 2 years, Bell was a guy that would name search himself and then like anyone who disrespected him.
Mm.
But he doesn't do that anymore. He cleaned it up. So this was an intentional.
Well, let's try it. Let's
this
try
was
it,
an
though.
Intentional like.
I'll tweet from Part of My Take right now. Le'Veon Bell.
Trust me, I've looked it up. I've tweeted
but let's
his
just
name.
Try it. Okay. Let's try it live. Le'Veon Bell is trash.
Le'Veon Bell, I dare you to like
he
this
he won't
tweet.
Sign with the Patriots.
Hank?
No.
Le'Veon Bell.
Is too much of a chicken shit to sign with the New England Patriots.
Yes.
Le'Veon Bell is trash unless he likes this tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So, what do you got? You got any others?
No, that's just the one.
All right. What do you got, Hank?
I was back. I had Kentucky football. And I had the Joker.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys saw the pictures, but Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin, yes.
Is apparently going to be playing the Joker in a Joker. It's going to be its own movie, its own standoff movie, or whatever you call it.
Standalone? Yeah.
Standalone movie.
Mm-hmm.
Probably be a standoff in there at some point.
There's no Batman?
No.
Oh.
Well, the only thing that's come out is the pictures of Joaquin as the Joker.
I love when they do this.
And then the internet just goes in the debates of like...
When's the movie coming out? 2021?
Yeah, something like that.
Fuck that.
Here's the deal.
They don't even know, actually.
Jesus Christ. Don't get me excited about this stuff.
There's also a Joker movie coming out simultaneously.
With Jared Leto.
With Jared Leto playing his weirdo, sick, pervert Joker from
Suicide
Squad.
And is Batman
Squad.
In that?
I don't know if Batman's in that or not, but I
think that's a
big fan
Joker
of Jared
Leto. With no Batman? How do you have How?
I don't know. The Jared Leto Joker movie is the Joker and Margot Robbie's person.
I'm sure that there's going to be Batman in there at some point.
Okay. All right. Is you promise?
It's just no. It's going to be.
Are you promising?
It's going to be like that movie 24, where it's going to be an hour and a half of real time where Joker kills Batman's dad.
Okay, so you promise?
Yes.
There will be a Batman.
That's my solemn promise to you. Is Batman will be in there at some point?
Don't let me down.
I have no idea if he's going to be in there or not.
This is like. Okay. Well, anything else, Hank?
No.
Oh, you had Kentucky football.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky football. So that's good. That's a good segue to football guy of the week. So we have some good nominees, but we also have Cash Daniel, who is linebacker for Kentucky. Big win against Mississippi State. Undefeated Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking Mississippi State. Kentucky football is on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out our friends at Big Blue Nation. But Cash Daniel, we see you trying to get football guy of the week every week. It's not going to work, man. You got to do something that's actually football guy. Like, get 35 tackles
mm-hmm.
and then come talk to us. So he was asked about the Mississippi State players after the game, and he said, I hope they're crying, slobbering. I hope all their girlfriends break up with them. Nice try, dude. That was such a clear, I want to be football guy of the week.
Uh-huh.
Not going to nominate you.
He's going to make his own app that's just him, like, delivering speeches after games and just trying to get us downloaded. It's called the Cash App, bro. Check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Cash App. Tweet us your cash tag. So, nice try, Cash Daniel. So, here are our nominees, and we have one that we have to embrace debate on. So, we have five, and we've got to whittle it down to four. The first
By the way,
one,
Cash Daniel, I just want to say, we're sorry for joking about you because you seem like the kind of guy that would show up at our office and just
dude, this is how you
get
neg.
Into a fight
this
with us.
This is how you neg. He's going to love us even more.
I'm not scared of you, Cash.
No, I'm not scared of you at all.
B-word.
Bitch. All right. Don't cut that out. Okay. first up, we have Oregon strength coach, who was all over the sideline on Saturday. Awesome mustache, huge biceps. He's a beast. What exactly?
There wasn't anything specific that he did, but he was bouncing. The mustache was like flapping in the wind. And he was also being the holdback guy kind of for
yes.
the entire sideline.
Yes.
His job is to pace the sideline. He's like a dog, like a guard dog that just walks the perimeter and everybody mm-hmm. knows you don't cross him. His mustache, the mustache is actually a holdback guy for his own mouth.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Yes.
It's keeping those swear words in check.
I like strength and conditioning coaches having looks and getting a little bit of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they've been under the radar for too long. And they deserve to be brought out and be like, hey, this is our strength and conditioning guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Monopoly mustache.
It's awesome.
He looks like a robber baron.
Yes, he looks like a bad guy in a political cartoon from the 1920s.
Yes, exactly. So that's our first. Number two is Nick Saban. His quote after Alabama beat Texas A&M, did not cover, but beat Texas A&M, he said, I'd appreciate it if you would sort of look at some of the things that we didn't do so well and write about that so maybe I could show it to the players and say, look here, man, here's something you can do better. This was his quote to the media. So he's actually asking the media to bash Alabama so that he can somehow brainwash his players into thinking they're yeah. not good at football.
Yeah, so he can brainwash 19-year-olds into being self-conscious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rat poison.
Yes, exactly.
Rat poison.
So what can we say? I mean, we did call this last week with that article that came out.
Yeah.
We said that we thought it was a Nick Saban plant.
Yes.
And so this actually adds fuel to that fire that he does have journalists out there that
100%.
That he tells us to write 100%. Bad shit about them.
All right, next up we have the Buffalo head coach. Buffalo beat Rutgers. First time ever in school program they beat a Power 5 team. Yes, we are technically saying Rutgers is a Power 5 team. We have to. I know it's terrible that we have to, but we're going to say it. But anyway, he said in the post game, they had everyone in the locker room. He's like,
we get to live tomorrow! Let's go!
And the entire team just erupted. And that's how you know a football guy has the entire team in the palm of his hand. He has them cheering the fact that they get to wake up at 5:30 in the morning after winning a game to go lift.
Against Rutgers. Yeah, so you beat Rutgers.
Power 5.
And your reward is you have to exercise tomorrow morning.
And they were all into it.
And they were into it, yeah. So
they brainwashed through and through. Nick Saban probably watched that tape and said, how do I get that?
Yeah, so you don't schedule Buffalo. That's another team that you don't want to schedule.
Don't schedule them. And then finally, we have two more. We have Josh Allen, our guy. So he was asked after the game, how motivated was it being such a big underdog? And he just replied, I didn't even know. So that's a football guy not knowing the point spread. That's how you do it. That's how you do it, folks. He's not an underdog ever. When he gets out on the field, he's ready to go.
Or do you think he just is kind of a nerd and doesn't know about gambling?
Yeah, maybe I should start texting him the line.
Yeah, you should, we should definitely
I'm gonna
do that
before every game. That'll, just be like, hey, Josh, just a heads up, you're an underdog.
That'll
this
absolutely
week.
Be lead to an FBI investigation at some
hey,
point.
Hey, Josh, heads
you're,
up, you're an still
under,
an underdog.
You're an underdog. So if you wanted to target this number, yeah. that would be great.
So, if, and I'm going to tease it up. Yeah. So, so just try to make sure. But, yeah, we'll start doing that. And then, finally, the embrace debate. Herm Edwards has the turnover bicep curl.
Yes.
Now, I think turnover anything, fill in the blank, is over. I think Miami was it. They it's over for Miami. It's over for every other school. They all tried to hop on it. Basically imitators now. I do agree that getting Herm Edwards something funny in the fact that he's getting his players to work out as a reward.
Yeah.
Similar to Buffalo.
Yeah, but this one it's like he will not let you do glamour muscles during the week.
Right.
You can do squats. You can do deadlifts. You can do it. Tell you what, if you're nice, I'll let you do pull-ups occasionally because that's mostly back but a little bit of arms. But if you cause a turnover during the game, I'll let you work on the curls for the girls.
Okay.
And when you look at the guy that was doing the bicep curl – you can tell that guy doesn't do a lot of arms. He's not that guy's not allowed near a curl rack.
So that's our fifth. Hank, who should we keep in or out?
I think you should take out the mustache.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Just
all right.
Because
there
was nothing concrete that he did.
Yeah,
he
he's got you know he's gotta earn it. He's gotta do something concrete for it.
He's on the radar.
He's on the radar, but he's gotta do something concrete.
Good I also don't think it's a football guy move to have that type of mustache.
Oh.
It's a strength and conditioning guy
ever
move.
Heard of Dicka?
Yeah,
but he didn't have like the Raleigh fingers mustache.
Yeah, I guess the twirl. Here's
that's
here's
a guy,
we
that's, a guy that's worried about himself, not the team.
Here's
he's,
what we got
to
find out.
He's watching a lot of Peaky fucking Blinders.
Does he use mustache wax? If he does, that's probably too much.
Uh huh.
That's
yeah.
probably too much. You gotta go all natural.
Thinking about it, yeah.
You gotta have the mustache hairs. I get the mustache hairs that go straight out. It looks absolutely terrible. I'm like, I become a porcupine.
Yeah, same.
But that's how you know that I don't care.
Yeah, so if you're a strength and condition guy, you real strength and condition guys don't even shower.
No.
They just use Axe body spray.
Right, exactly. They use Axe body spray and just that metal taste from the bars.
Yeah, occasionally they'll take like a Brillo pad of steel wool and just kind of scrape off the dead skin.
Yes.
That's what they use as a soap.
Yes, exactly. All right, so vote for football guy of the week at Part of My Take. We're 3 for 3, I think. With football guys of the week actually accepting the award. So don't vote for Nick Saban.
Yeah, please don't.
Please don't vote for Nick Saban.
Maybe the Buffalo guy?
Maybe.
What's his name?
I feel like we get the Buffalo,
what's
head,
the Buffalo
coach?
Head coach.
I don't know how it. I mean, we could definitely get Josh Allen. So, but yeah, we can. We're going to get someone. So before, let's go to our interview with Mike Lombardi. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Mike Lombardi, also brought to you by...
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, here he is, Mike Lombardi. Okay, we now welcome on someone we've been actually tried to get on a long time ago. He's finally here because he has a book. It is called Gridiron Genius, a Masterclass in Winning Championships and Building Dynasties in the NFL. It is Mike Lombardi. He has lived the NFL his entire life. He knows the NFL inside and out. Mike, before we start, though, I know that you've been doing the rounds and basically apologizing to all Eagles fans for bashing Doug Peterson. We don't give a fuck about that. Okay, you can say whatever you want about the Eagles. We need an apology right now about any Blake Bortles slander that you have thrown out there at any point in your life.
I can't do that, man. I can't do that. There's no chance. I mean, the equalizer helped Tennessee win today. I mean,
yeah, but that
I
was
can't do
okay.
It.
This
I'm
interview's
sorry.
Over.
It was a trap game.
Yeah,
you have to
I'm
admit
sorry.
It was a trap game.
Well, I mean, Tennessee's a trap game. I mean, come on. You know, that's the kind of thing I think. Look, Jacksonville, I think, is a great team. And you know the funny thing about Blake Bortles, which is hilarious. So when I was in Cleveland in 13, I was scouting all the quarterbacks, and that was, you know, Bortles, Bridgewater. That was that draft, Garoppolo. And I loved Blake in the first couple times I saw him in college. In fact, I told an agent, you know, you need to get this guy. This guy's going to be a good player. So, like, I started out at the right place, and I've ended up at the wrong place, and I apologize. I'm sorry.
Okay, there we go. There we go. There's the apology.
Apology accepted.
Boom. Now interview starts.
What have you said? Okay. Have you said anything negative about Josh Allen?
You know, I don't know what to make of Josh Allen because at Wyoming he was so inaccurate. Last week he was so inaccurate, and today he goes in there and, you know, and if you would have had the Bills and 26 points, you would have still won. I mean, it was like, I mean, the Vikings in 26, the Bills would have won. I mean, it was ridiculous. I don't know. My feeling on Josh Allen, it's going to be a wait-and-see thing. I still think that.
That's okay. Smart. That's smart. Fair. But it's not. That's not really what a takesman does. You should make a blanket statement about a rookie while he's still a rookie. Just get ahead of it.
Well, I've been trying to do that about Trubisky. I've said that about Trubisky, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, good, good. So he's football young, and I agree. So let's talk about week three. Before we do that, though, your book. Tell us quickly what is in your book. Like I said, you've lived the NFL. You worked with Belichick. You were at the Browns. You've been all over. Give us a quick synopsis of what we can expect with the book as football guys.
Well, you know, the book's basically about culture, how to build a team. Bill Walsh told me in 1984 we're only competing against eight teams, and that was when it was a 28-team league because no team really had great culture in their building. And so that's really what it's about. You know, I'm fortunate enough to drive Bill Walsh around in a car because I was a slappy for him. And then I got to work with Belichick in Cleveland, and then I worked with the great Al Davis in Oakland for 10 years, which is really like working for somebody for 40 years. And then I went back with Belichick. So it's all the things that I've learned from them. It's not about me. It's about what I've learned.
So what's the number one thing that a team, like let's say, for example, we're taping this at halftime of the Patriots-Lions game. Matt Patricia is trying to build a culture in Detroit. What does someone do when they walk in the door and they're trying to build a winning culture in an NFL franchise?
You got to be yourself. You got to be original. You know, and I talk about it all the time. Like Sinatra never looked cool in a leisure suit. You got to be who you are. You can't copy Belichick completely. And the hard part for Matt is he's taken over a team that was 9-7 last year, and they love Jim Caldwell. Every player on that team loved Jim Caldwell. So he's walking into a tough locker room, and he's got to win them over. And if you go too hard one way, you're going to lose the locker room. And you got to kind of have some delicate balance to win over the veterans as you integrate your system into play. It takes some time. And if you go too hard-ass on them, they're going to tune you out.
Mm-hmm. You said that Frank Sinatra didn't look cool in a leisure suit. Care to retract that comment? Because I think Frank Sinatra looks cool no matter what he wears.
You know, I love Sinatra, but I didn't think he'd look good in a leisure suit. I'm sorry. I never did. I thought he was a tuxedo and cufflink guy. That's, to me, when I see Sinatra, that's what I see.
That's fair.
Okay. All
that's
right. Fair. So Patricia's trying to turn something around there. Another regime that's trying to turn something around is out in San Francisco. You got John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan coming in. Now they've got to make a decision because Jimmy looks like he's out for the year probably. What would you do if you were the 49ers general manager in this situation?
You know, it's going to be hard. There's no quarterbacks out there. Bridgewater got traded. I mean, that would have been the logical guy to try to trade for, but he got traded to the Saints, so the Saints aren't going to move him. To me, I think it's a tough spot. You know, C.J. Beathard last year, they say he's going to be much improved this year. I don't know. To me, the way the Niners play defense, forget about this year. They look like they could be the first pick in the draft the way they're playing right now. They're not going to win very many games. I'm about ready to give the Rams the NFC West title right now.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. So while we're on culture, I saw that you were on the record saying that you wouldn't bring Josh Gordon in.
Yeah.
When he was on the trade block, obviously the Patriots bring him in. Why do you think it's going to not work out, or why do you think you wouldn't take on a risk like Josh Gordon?
Well, I think because he's not he's not passionate about football. You know, everybody wants to compare him to Randy Moss, or even let's go to Lawrence Taylor that Belichick had. Those guys were just passionate about football. Josh is kind of indifferent to football. Yeah, it's an ends to a mean. He doesn't love it, and he's not been able to get his life in order off the field. And to me, that's a hard program. That's like joining the Navy SEALs, man. It's tough to play up there. You got to get in there early in the morning. You stay late at night. And if you're not willing to do the time and the effort into it, you're just going to get cast aside. And look, they need him desperately. You can just see how slow they are tonight on offense, how slow they are on defense. They need an infusion of some speed. I could see why they did it, but for me, I don't think it has long-range success written over it.
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you were an assistant to Belichick. What is his tolerance for somebody that isn't coming in early, isn't staying late? Like, how quickly would he move on from a guy like Josh Gordon if it wasn't
I think once it interferes with the team. I mean, we had Alan Branch there, who was, you know, I don't know if you guys remember Alan Branch from Buffalo, got arrested for drunk driving, after the Bills paid him a ton of money. We picked him up in the 14 season, and Alan's a smart guy from Michigan. You know, just never could get his life in order, but, you know, there was times where he was in the program. We almost cut him, but gave him a little bit of rope, and eventually he got it turned around, and I don't think we would have won the two Super Bowls that we won in New England without him. So there is tolerance, but you got to be able to correct yourself. I'm just not sure Josh will always do that.
So you were an assistant to Belichick. What does that mean? What did you do for him?
Well, I did, you know, it's funny because my background working for Al Davis forced you and Bill Walsh forced you to understand the game from the coaching side and the players and the personnel side. It was players and plays all the time. Most times in scouting, you just see players. Most times in coaching, you just see plays. But those guys forced me to see players and plays. So I would, you know, every week for Belichick, I would do point of emphasis, which is what I thought we had to do on offense, what we had to do on defense and in the kicking game to win the game. And it wasn't just, hey, stop the run. It's that's not what it is. It's not that simple, you know. And so it was those detailed reports. I did scouting. I did player analysis. I did projects. I did stuff to me to kind of give him and I help him as he assumed his role as the general manager of the team to try to make it more conducive to him and then also help the coaches in what I saw at practice and what I saw during the games.
So we obviously just finished watching the first half of the Patriots-Lions game. Now, it could obviously change and the Patriots come back in basically every game that they want to. But do you think, like, the story that the media always goes is like, when is it going to end? And I have to, just from the eyeball test, the defense looks like they're running in slow motion. How does Belichick, a coach like that, fix something in season when there's not someone who's coming who can fix everything? There's not, you know, some first round draft pick that's going to show up.
Well, I think it'll help Edelman get back on offense. I mean, they miss Amendola badly. They miss Danny's toughness. They miss Deion Lewis. They don't have a loose play back. I mean, James White's a nice player, but he's a catcher, not a runner. Once he gets the ball, he goes down. So you got to be careful. And then defensively, they just need more speed. I mean, Hightower can't run like he used to run. And so he's really a defensive end. He can't play linebacker anymore. And I think what they're going to have to do is start to play some guys that can run. I mean, you saw it last year when they played Marquise Flowers, and they started to put guys in at the linebacker. They need guys that can run. And on defense, they can't run. They can't create fumbles. The way you can tell your team speed on defense is by how many forced fumbles you can create. And that's the best way to do it. I wrote about it in the book. It's, you can see it. The speed of the team runs to the football, and it creates fumbles. And the Patriots can't even get strip balls. They can't get near the quarterback. They miss Trey Flowers tonight. They got to get him back. But to me, you're going to have to move some people around and get players away from space plays and try to create a better, more speed on the field. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, speaking of those strip plays, John Gruden's been saying the last couple of weeks that what they are really missing out in Oakland is having a good speed edge rush or someone that can put pressure on the quarterback. Is there anything that he could have done differently or maybe that he could be doing differently now to get that speed rusher?
You know, I don't think those are hard to find. You know, you just don't walk down the street and find one of those guys. So they're hard to find. And look, I mean, I get it if he's trying to go the Patriot way and not have one guy make a lot of money. But I'm not sure that Carr's worth the $20 million when you watch him play. And the talent level on the Raiders. The Raiders are the classic, what I call, 50-minute team. They play good for 50 minutes, but the last 10 minutes of the game, they fall apart like they did today in Miami. Miami, they should have been up by 2 touchdowns on Miami. They had 4th and goal with the 1, and they run the fullback belly instead of giving it to Lynch. And then they get it down there again. They throw a turnover in the red zone. I mean, they've had chances to win the last 2 weeks. They've just shot themselves in the foot badly, and they just don't have enough playmakers on defense.
Yeah, my theory about John Gruden is that he is he's really good at getting his players up for a game. But his halftime adjustments are just like, let's keep doing everything we did in the first 30 minutes, except do it harder.
Yeah, well, I think there's some truth to that. I think what you see with them is that John's so busy in his script and running the offense that he doesn't see the whole game. And there's a way you got to play the whole game. I mean, his defense can't play. Like, last year, the Eagles played 26 minutes of defense. For the season, they played 27 a game. That's the way their offense ran the thing. If the Saints play 27 minutes of defense this year, they'll probably be in the conference championship game for every game. They can't play 30 minutes. And I think what John doesn't understand is how to do that. I think he's so busy looking at his play sheet. And you're right, they got to make some adjustments. It's hard, especially when you got a lot of moving parts.
Okay, so another place that you worked in your career, Cleveland, they got obviously their first win in 635 days on Thursday night. After the game, Hugh Jackson said, I got to look at the tape and decide if Baker Mayfield's a starting quarterback. Now, did he say that just so that he didn't hurt Tyrod Taylor's feelings, or is that a true statement by him? Is he actually going to look at it and give it, you know, throw it up for grabs after what we watched with Baker Mayfield in that second half?
I think he's just trying to be respectful to Taylor. That's the only thing I could think of. Because if he hasn't gotten fired for just winning one game, he'll get fired for not starting Baker Mayfield in Oakland next week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, to me, like, I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to protect Taylor. But I never understood the Taylor thing to begin with. To me, I thought Taylor was better off for Buffalo. Obviously not after today. But to me, Buffalo needed a veteran quarterback more than Cleveland. The way Mayfield played this summer, to me, I thought he deserved a start.
Yeah, yeah. So
I mean, would you think maybe Taylor's a guy that could go out to San Francisco?
You know, it'd be interesting to see. I could see Kyle wanting him. He's bootleg oriented. He needs to be on the move to throw the ball. I could see that. They got a ton of cap room, and they need somebody to come in as a backup. I could see that. If they don't do something in San Francisco, they could easily be picking the first pick in the draft. Because with that defense, they haven't stopped anybody in 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. So looking at 3 weeks, we obviously do knee-jerk reactions to everything, which are usually wrong. But what is the biggest surprise, either team or player, through 3 weeks to you?
I mean, it's surprising to me that the Chiefs are just winning with playing bad defense and the way they've played. I mean, obviously Mahomes playing the way he is hasn't turned the ball over. To me, that's a shock. I thought this summer they were hiding their offense, and they did. And I think that was – I think Houston, to me, I thought Houston was going to be a way better team. I was an idiot. I thought Houston could compete. They got all those players back on defense. Watson was coming back. I thought they would be much better than they are. To me, that's a shock. They're 0-3, and their season's down the tubes. You know, I don't see it. And I think the one thing is, like I said earlier, I think the Rams are just, to me, home field advantage might have to go through Los Angeles.
Yeah. So stay on Houston for a second. We never talk about another man's job because you just don't talk about another man's job.
But
would Bill O'Brien be a hot seat candidate if this team continues to, you know, let's say they probably won't make the playoffs. And let's just say they won't make the playoffs. Does Bill O'Brien then feel the heat?
You know, look, they just changed over the organization. Rick Smith left. They gave Brian Gain the job there. They gave him a new contract. They gave Rick a new contract. They gave Bill a new contract. So to me, this is year one of a new contract program. And so I can't see McNair making that many changes that quickly unless he decides to do what the Eagles did and bring Howie back. He brings Rick back and fires everybody else. I mean, I wouldn't put it past anybody, but to me it seems a little premature. Look, the Texans, you can make any argument you want. They're poorly coached. I mean, they get first and 15 every time you turn around. They had the ball first and goal at like the 5. Next thing I look up, they're at their own 30. They're moving it backwards. They get penalties. They have a touchdown. They get penalties. They're just not playing well at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is true. I thought my score app was broken every time I looked at the Texans game because I think they did at one point have like first and goal on the 28.
That's why Deshaun Watson keeps getting all those stats padded in the second half is because he gives himself a bigger field to play with.
Yeah, by the way, as we talked about the Patriots' demise, they're now down 13-10, so they'll probably
win. Okay, so they're going to win this game, first reported by Part of My Take right now. We talked earlier about changing a culture when you're a new guy in town. What about if you're Mike Tomlin and you've lost the locker room? You've actually literally lost several players. You don't know where they are. How would he go about regaining control of what's going on in Pittsburgh?
Call John Walsh on America's Most Wanted and look for him? I mean, how do you do that?
Dog the Bounty Hunter, actually.
Yeah. Ooh, he's back, actually.
Le'Veon, go with Christ, brah.
I mean, I think to me, like, I think that the happiest people in the world are, like, Mike Zimmer's probably happy tonight because he can go in there on Monday and he's got his team's full attention. And I think Tomlin is happier than hell going in there this week and having everybody's attention after getting his ass kicked at home. Sometimes we look at it on the outside as dysfunction on the inside when it's really the chance for the coach to be able to rally the forces like Buffalo. We all thought Buffalo, me included, like, who gave Buffalo one chance in hell to win the game, right?
Well, I bet on him.
I bet on the Vikings, so not me.
Oh, you did?
So, it gave, you know, Sean McDermott's got a chance to go in there. I mean, look, Tennessee played the card. They were like, hey, we got no chance to go into Jacksonville. We can't win. And it gives your coach a chance to talk to the team. And I mean, look, the Eagles, you know, the Eagles can get pissed off at me all they want for ripping on Doug Peterson. But I mean, they played that card the whole time. Like, nobody respects us. and they did the whole year with that. That's a hell of a card to play when you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a ring? Did they send you one?
You know, I'm kind of pissed off I didn't get one. Really, yeah. Actually. You know, the owners give two rings out. I don't know if you guys know this, right? So they always kind of give two rings. They give one that's the real ring that has real diamonds in it, and then they give one that doesn't have all the real diamonds in it. I was at least expecting one without the real diamonds.
Yeah, that's the one they gave to Putin, right?
That would have been fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is Mike McCarthy on the hot seat? Ooh. And is Aaron Rodgers more hurt than he's putting on?
I thought this was a tough game this week. I mean, look, Washington's the ultimate play to the competition crowd. It was a soggy field. I think Green Bay's defense is terrible. I think that they've been bad for 3 weeks, and they haven't really been able to slow anybody down. Do you realize they gave up 22 points in the fourth quarter last week in 2 minutes and 50 seconds? I mean, that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really hard to do. And so, you know, I think Mike's got to fix his defense. You know, he got Dom Capers out of there, and now Mike Pettine's in there. I think they got to fix it. And right now, I think Ty Montgomery's the best back they have, because when they spread you out, he at least can create an explosive play.
Yeah, but the Packers, they've never had a good defense. Like, Dom Capers been there for forever, and it seems like they haven't been able to stop a nosebleed.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. No, that's true.
How would you fix that? Because you got a guy right now, Clay Matthews. He's got a reputation now that he's working on. He's a dirty player.
I don't know what to tell Clay Matthews. I mean, like, I tweeted out that Al Riveron should put a video together to show all of us what he wanted Clay Matthews to do. I mean, like, where was he going to put his body? Like, really? Like, where are you going to put your body? Like, is there any chance you could have moved it left or right? I mean, you tackled the guy.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Just, like, all of a sudden reverse tackle him? Fall backwards, do a somersault.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Just defy the laws of physics. It's not that tough to do.
But I think Green Bay's got to fix their defense. And what happens all the time, it happens in New Orleans, is you play this battleship game. You call different defenses for different plays. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss, and Green Bay's in that battleship mode, and they're not hitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, PFT.
I want to jump back real quick to Philadelphia, and I do want to bust your balls just a little bit about it, because
you can bust my balls all you want. Look, I can take it. Trust me.
Yeah.
Just bust them. It's no big deal.
Well,
here's the thing. Here's the reality of it. Look, if you're going to have opinions, you're going to be wrong, and the best way you can learn in life is to admit you made a mistake. I mean, mm-hmm. Look, the one thing in my time in the league, when a scout would come in for an interview and he told me he never made a mistake, that's a bad scout, right?
Mm-hmm.
You learn from all your mistakes, you know. And so, look, if you want to go on TV and say nothing, you can probably stay forever, but nobody's getting educated, so you can bust my balls.
I thought Patrick Mahomes was a bust.
All right, so who?
I mean, we all do it. I mean, look, everybody's made mistakes. It's like
PFT thinks that Todd Bowles is a top 10 coach.
Schwartz did a research project when he was with us in Cleveland, and we figured if you're 75% accurate on picks, on draft picks, whether a guy plays or doesn't play, you're doing a hell of a job. That's a C in school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, C's get degrees.
I do want to know who's the shitty coach this year. Who's the new hire that you think is going to suck, so I can pencil in who's going to win the Super Bowl?
You know, so you want to bet it all, go all in on it?
Yep.
That one's – I haven't seen – like, I think Frank Reich's done a really good job. So I haven't really seen one that I think would be really bad. I haven't really seen it to where I thought, oh, God, that looks bad. You know, I was wondering, Mike Vrabel's defense wasn't great last year in Houston. He was terrible. And now he's 2-1. So maybe it's Mike Vrabel. You know, I'd say that. I would have probably said
that.
That's
a friend. He's a friend.
No, but that's
well.
Good for us if he thinks that Mike Vrabel sucks.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he sucks. But I'm just saying I wasn't sure how he got the job based on the way his defense played.
Got it. That's fair.
And now I also heard that you wrote a letter to Doug Peterson apologizing for your bad take, and somebody was, I guess, somebody approached Doug Peterson to write his book this offseason, and they recommended your name as a co-author of the book. Did you ever hear anything about that?
No, I read that. I read that, and he said no, which I could understand why he would say no. And plus, it was all I could do to write my book. Trust me. I thought writing a book was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I think promoting the book might be the hardest thing. That's why I bugged you guys too much. You know, like, it's hard to promote books. It's hard to write it. So I'm happy Doug didn't ask.
Well, I saw a picture on your Twitter of Bon Jovi reading your book. Do you think Bon Jovi actually read your book?
Yeah, he did. He really did. You know, John loves football. You know, I'm fortunate enough to know John because John and Belichick are close. And so we would always hang out with John. John would come to Cleveland when we were together there. John would come to New England when I was there. And so wherever we were in Jersey, we'd go see John. Now he lives out in the Hamptons. He's got this – he's making rosé, diving in the Hamptons rosé now. So, yeah, he loves football.
Sounds like
football.
A bad business model.
Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott, he sucks. Thoughts?
No, I don't think so.
What?
I think.
Yeah.
I think
no, he sucks, Mike. Mike, he sucks.
I don't think so.
Okay, tell us why I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I think their scheme is so bad. I think they do nothing to help him. I think if Sean McVay went and spent 2 weeks in Dallas, they probably score 30 points a week. Ooh. Now, I don't think they have great skill at all, but how does Zeke Elliott average 3 yards a catch? I mean, seriously, yeah. It's Zeke Elliott. You can't get him the ball like they get Gurley. I think it's they have no skill. They have no look. Let me tell you something, you two. If Tavon Austin is your main guy, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. True. I agree with that. So that being said, Jason Garrett, hot seat.
I don't think so, because I think Jerry's comfortable with him. I mean, I think this year, if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's in trouble. I think they've given him enough rope to hang himself down there, but I don't see it. That's why I call him the clapper. All I see him do is clap. I don't see him make a – you talk about no adjustments?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. I assume you gave a Super Bowl prediction before the season, but because we're now 3 weeks in, we're going to give you a redo, so you don't even have to tell us what your first one was. Who do you see in the Super Bowl, giving the 3 weeks of knowledge that we have on this NFL season?
I think it would be the Rams and the Chiefs, and you know, probably the over would be at 70.
Ooh,
love it. And I would bet it.
Yeah, oh yeah, I would bet it. Every which way. But you really think the Chiefs can do this with playing no defense?
No, I don't. But I mean, I had Houston. I'm an idiot. I had freaking Houston.
Oh,
I thought Houston was going to be way better.
Oh. I mean, Mike, I just told you didn't have to tell us who you picked.
I don't mind admitting my mistakes. I don't care. It don't matter. You know, to me, I thought they would be much better. But, like, look, Kansas City, the one thing Kansas City can do on defense, they get off the field on third down. Now, they may not force a lot of third downs, but they get off the field on third down.
That's right. A great spin zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just never get to a third down, you can't say that you're bad on third down.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. You know, so anyway, I don't know. I think, like, when you just watch the teams, like the Rams never take their foot off the gas. They're really good. I don't see anybody in the East that can – I mean, Philly's struggling to win. Like today, they struggled to win. I mean, Indy had every chance to win that game today, you know, and then the North, I don't know about that one. The South, I mean, New Orleans, I like their team, but I think the Rams will move the ball on them. I think it's the Rams, and then the AFC, New England doesn't look like it. I'm not buying Miami even though they're 3-0.
Yeah. Neither am I.
Yeah,
candy ass uniforms. That's mostly why.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you real quick about Earl Thomas out in Seattle. So, mm-hmm. What would you do with a player, or what would some of the gridiron geniuses that you've been around do with a player like that, who very clearly doesn't want to be there, is still an awesome player, but is saying things publicly like, I basically skip practice whenever I feel like it because I don't need to practice, which, I mean, in Earl Thomas's case, I don't think he really needs to practice that much to still be an impact player. But, like, how do you handle that with the rest of the team?
I think it's really about money, guys. I think it's all about money. I think he wants to get paid. I think all he does is just try to stir it on John Schneider and Pete Carroll and just try to get paid. Look, like, pay me my money, man. You know, it's like he's just trying to really piss them off and either, you know, don't franchise me, pay me, or trade me. Those are the things, and I think that's his agenda. And then he goes out there and has two interceptions and he plays great. So how are they going to trade him? You know, and they don't have enough good players. They're going to have to figure out a way to pay him. I mean, there's a solution, and it's called Green. Pay him.
Mm-hmm. Fair. All right. I have the SeatGeek question. Promo code TAKE. You get $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. Put it in now. You go to a football game. Promo code TAKE on SeatGeek. So you worked for Belichick for many, many years. What is the maddest that Bill Belichick has ever been at you?
At me?
Yes.
You know, I don't think I don't really – I've never really had an argument with the man.
Really?
Seriously. I've never really – I mean, Bill's not one of those guys to get – like, Bill will get, look, we're just not going to do it. You know, Bill, we've done it your way. It doesn't work. We're going to do it my way now. That's what he tells the team. But, I mean, like, look, you know, I've seen enough of that. I mean, probably in Cleveland when we both went out to Modell's house when he was moving the team to Baltimore, and that was probably the most angry, not at me, but most angry or disappointed I've seen him.
Do you think that team, so that team obviously famously gets moved, Bill Belichick gets fired. Do you think if that team doesn't get moved that Bill Belichick is still the coach of the Cleveland Browns today?
That I don't know. I mean, Modell and him was always a rocky relationship because of, you know, the Kozar thing and the fans not really endearing themselves and all that. But the team was really – well, the team was a good team. And a lot of the players – we had two first-round picks, I mean, you know, that year. And so – we like what happened to San Francisco's, you know, like what happened to Houston last year. You lose your quarterback, things fall apart. The guy moved the team on us. I think Bill was a good coach then. I wrote it in the book. I told the Rams to hire him in 96. They didn't listen. And, you know, and I think he would have been a good coach forever. So, yeah, I do.
Okay, on the other side of the country, what is the funniest name that Al Davis ever called you?
He always would tell me he's sending me to Elba. I'm going to send you to Elba. You know what Elba was?
No.
That's
okay, so when Napoleon was
yeah.
top,
yeah.
When he was in power, he got sent to Elba.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when he would just say, you know, and Al was never one for calling you by the name. He would just say, oh, fuck, and hang up the phone. I mean, I worked for Al Davis for almost 10 years, and I never knew, he never said hello or goodbye. You know, and I'm deaf in one ear, so when the phone clicked, sometimes I didn't even hear it. And, you know, so he would always threaten to send me to elbow. That was what his big thing was. I'm going to say, and he did my last year there, which I still get blamed for Jamarcus Russell. I wasn't even in the draft room.
No, that was your fault. It's well known in league circles that it was your fault.
I love it. Yeah.
What about Lane Kiffin? Did he tell Lane, I'm going to send you elbow, or did he just jump straight to the PowerPoint presentation?
You know how Lane Kiffin got his job?
How?
His dad.
Sark came in for the interview and interviewed three times. Okay. Now, I wasn't in any interview. And then Al told Sark, bring back your offensive coordinator. So he brings Lane back. When Sark goes back to L.A. on the next flight with Lane, you know, Sark says, I don't want the job. So Al hires Lane.
Wow. So Lane cucked another person.
There you go. It was. I mean, and Lane actually had no business being there. I mean, the guy was barely going to be the offensive coordinator, and he got the head coaching job.
I loved it.
But the one thing I will defend Lane Kiffin on is he didn't want to pick Jamarcus Russell either.
What? So that was all Al Davis?
Well, Al and the scouts, they all wanted him, yeah.
Wow, interesting. All right, my last question for you. Can you talk me off of the hate that's coming Mitch Trubisky's way by people outside of Chicago saying that he is not a good quarterback? Tell me that he is a good quarterback, Mike, please.
I can't.
Oh, come on. Just lie.
I can't tell you. Well, because I think it's really hard when the game goes fast. I think it's hard for him. I think the reason he's Mr. Ohio and he doesn't go to Ohio State and has to go to North Carolina is because it wasn't an instinctive position for him. And then he didn't play at North Carolina because it wasn't real instinctive. Now, can he get better? Look, his arm's not tied to his feet. Steve Young. Now, here's what I'll give you good news. Steve Young, nobody thought he could play either. And Bill Walsh traded a second round pick $2 million to the Bucks for Steve Young, and he turned him into a player. It could happen because athletes sometimes it clicks and they become better players. So there you go. I'll talk to you about that.
All right.
He's going to be like Steve Young. Maybe he's going to learn to tie his arm to his feet and become more accurate and more patient. But the one thing I will say, Steve Young had a lot of success in college. Mitchell didn't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he almost beat Georgia that first week.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
they didn't cover,
look,
but
the kid's a great athlete. The kid's a great athlete. And, I mean, like today, you know, I mean, I thought for sure, you know, that they were going to, you know, I thought he was going to lose this game. I really did.
Yeah. Quick update. The Lions are up 20-10 now. So we were correct.
Yeah.
Patriots are dead again.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so you're telling me that Mitch Trubisky, future Steve Young, that works. I can – listen.
There you go. Take it to the bank.
Yeah, one – actually, you – so your book obviously goes through all of football history and winning championships. What, in your mind, is the best dynasty in NFL history? Is it the 85 Bears?
No, I think it's the Patriots. I think because of the salary cap. Look, we played the 85 Bears in 84 when they were starting and knew they were going to be great. And then in 85, they were unbelievable. You couldn't block them, right? And they had that new scheme with Buddy running the Bear defense. But to go to 7 conference championship games in a row, I mean, in a cap era, that's hard
but
to do.
But counterpoint, 85 Bears.
The Bears were great. They really were.
That's the greatest dynasty in NFL history, that one year.
I love it.
All right, Pifty, anything else?
I think we're good.
Everyone check it out. Gridiron Genius, a masterclass in winning championships and building dynasties in the NFL. Mike, thank you so much. We'll definitely have you back on, but you have to, before you come back on, you have to say something nice publicly about Blake Bortles, and we'll be watching.
I will definitely do that. I promise you. I will say I said something nice last week about Blake
Bortles
when he
beat
the Patriots.
Say it again.
I think Blake Bortles is playing well.
Oh, okay. That was nice. Good job. Okay. All right. Well, we're watching.
If I can change and you can change, then we can all change.
Just so you know, here's the list. It's Blake Bortles. It's Jared Goff. It's Mike Vrabel. It's Mitch Trubisky. Chris and Kyle Long.
Josh Allen.
And Julian Edelman. So don't bash any of those players.
I would
you
never
can come
bash
back
Julian.
On.
Julian Edelman's my guy. I love Julian Edelman. So you can scratch him off the list. There's no way I would ever say a bad word about him.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
All right. So just write down that list.
Just know that we're watching you like a hawk.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm actually setting up a Google alert right now. Michael Lombardi, Blake Bortles. So anything you say is going to come across my desk.
Yeah.
You got it.
All right.
I'll send you to Elba.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this. Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The interview is also brought to you by...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's get to some segments. Thanks to Mike Lombardi. We'll definitely have him back on again to talk football. Let's start with, by the way, we're getting like a, we have basically a mafia list of Italian football guys.
I know. That's what I was saying. We got Mike Florio, Pete Prisco, Mike Lombardi.
Yeah, if you got a problem, we got solutions. Listen, you know what I'm saying. We got Frankie Roast Beef.
We got Vinny
Vale Scalapini.
Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, Frank Caliendo. Yeah. That's true.
All the football guys.
That's true. All of them.
Tell you what, you got a problem, we got some fellas.
Yeah.
There are fellas on part of my team. Yes. It's our thing. We're
connected.
We don't talk
about
it.
We're not made, but we're connected.
Yeah. They're friends of a friend.
Yes. Okay, so first up we have Where's the Beef? Or What's the Beef? I don't even know what we're calling
what's
it.
What's Beef?
What's Beef?
Beef is what you do in a fight.
Shaq and Dwight Howard are in a beef. So Dwight Howard has decided to beef with Shaq. I don't know why, but he did. So he Instagram commented to Shaq, "We can have a roast battle if you want. I got 10 in the chamber for you, LOL." Mm-hmm. I'm sure he has some of the funniest jokes.
They're
ever.
Just all.
Well, Dwight Howard recently went on Wild and Out, the MTV show where it's like a roast.
Nick Cannon?
Yeah.
Nick Cannon is hilarious. Not many people will get that, but those who do, appreciate it. That will be a very distinct. How many under 25 listeners versus over 25?
Yes. Nick, so it was one of those things where Dwight stood there and got roasted, but then acted like, you know, he was part of it and laughed with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how the whole, that's what got the ball rolling.
Oh, so then Shaq responded, "I only battle champions, little man. You ain't in my division. You and Charles Barkley division. Focus on getting that ring, brother."
Yeah.
Well, he's not focused on getting that ring because he's on the Wizards.
I mean, if I was Shaq, I probably wouldn't give a shit about what Dwight Howard says. Dwight Howard's career path, he's tried to be Shaq every step of the way.
Well,
so in Orlando, he tried to be Shaq. He did the Superman thing like Shaq. Then he went out to L.A., tried to be Shaq out there. Didn't really happen.
Here's what it is. Dwight Howard is millennial Shaq, and Dwight Howard is what Shaq... Now, Shaq was obviously much better than Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howard would have had a completely different career if he was in the NBA when Shaq was in the NBA, and by that I mean when there wasn't social media. Because Dwight Howard, like, the biggest problem for Dwight Howard is everyone has seen through this smiling, I'm the best, I'm so funny, everyone loves me bullshit. Shaq is more similar to Dwight Howard than people realize. Shaq doesn't let people make jokes either. He's kind of a fucking loser like that too, where he can joke and I'm the big Aristotle. But if you come at him, he's kind of a baby about it, right?
Uh-huh. He's thin-skinned.
And he also, like, he has controlled the narrative of his career, like the whole, I make the free throws, I made them when they count. No, you didn't. You missed a lot of free throws when they counted. Mm-hmm. But because we don't have the same social media and you don't roast players like you did, like you roast players now, much different than back then, Shaq basically was able to skirt by that. I feel like if Shaq came up right now, everyone would think he's lame.
I would actually like to see a roast battle between Dwight Howard and Shaq.
Yeah.
It would end with both of them crying.
But Shaq gets the benefit of the doubt because he's Shaq, and he was cool, and he was a winner. He was a winner, but he was also, Shaq was cool before he was a winner, too, because he was different, and he was like, I mean,
Kazam.
Just, yeah, Kazam, you just think of local. But that's what I'm saying. I think Shaq would have gotten roasted so much more if he came up and tried to do the same things right now.
The difference is, though, I'm pretty sure Shaq could have kicked anybody's ass back in the day.
Like I said, Dwight Howard, he's way better.
Even though Dwight Howard has, like, arms that are the size of boa constrictors, I guess that's not really a compliment, but he also has boa constrictors.
Right.
He would still get his ass kicked by just about anybody in the NBA.
If you
I
ever,
feel like Dwight Howard is pound for pound the worst fighter maybe on the planet right now. If you look at his
He would definitely run backwards.
Yes.
The whole time. And Shaq, again, way better. If you want to look at some of Shaq's stats, it's like it's porn for like statistics porn, some of his playoff stats where he would just casually drop 40 and 20,
right.
40 and 25. But my point stands that I think that Shaq, it's a funny feud because I think Shaq and Dwight Howard are more alike than either of them realize.
Yeah, I wish that we could go back in time and just like give social media to these old guys.
Yes.
And see how they would have handled it. Like Michael Jordan is one of these
Not
guys that hates millennials,
yeah.
right? He hates his players being on their phone all the time. If you had given Michael Jordan access to Twitter and Instagram in like 1992, the public perception of Michael Jordan would be very different than it is now.
Well, I think he would be similar to Kevin Durant, that he would go at haters, but he probably would just show up to their house and actually like, let's play one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then make them cry.
Michael Jordan would probably SWAT people.
Yeah.
He would send SWAT teams
okay.
to their house.
That's okay. Still would be the GOAT. We have a take quake. This is from Jason McIntyre. This happened on Friday after Baker Mayfield's win on Thursday night. He went on to the NFL Network set, and Jason McIntyre had a specific point that he did not like that he saw from Baker Mayfield.
My one takeaway from Baker, and he was electric last night.
Yeah.
Jets had no tape on him. They weren't ready. Did you see after the game, he runs off the field excited.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 minutes later, comes out of the locker room to go on the NFL Network set. And he had his phone in his hand.
Really?
That was the number one thing I looked at. I was like, what? When you look at NFL quarterbacks after the game, they don't have their phone. Baker Mayfield's first thought was, man, I got that win. I got to get on social media and see what people are saying about me.
I'm telling you, it was his mom.
Oh, come on, Jordan. Don't defend him.
That is what we call a take quake.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It is really good.
This is a special type of, I don't like this guy for whatever reason, and I'm going to pick. I mean, we do it too.
Yeah.
But we do it in fun. This is, he really doesn't like Baker Mayfield because of his phone.
He's on his phone. Big guy, I don't know if you saw this, but instead of celebrating with his teammates, he checked his text messages.
Yep.
Can you believe after his first NFL win, he was responding to texts from his friends and family?
It was
the nerve of this fucking guy.
It was unreal. Disgusting.
I hate it.
Five minutes after, he didn't have the playbook anywhere in sight. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
How much attention do you think Jason? I mean, I actually don't have anything against Jason McIntyre. I think I've gone on his podcast or some other podcast with him a couple times, but this one is an all-time, just hold the L here, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold it.
Yeah.
It was for bad. All the internet.
I made the point that, like, Urban Meyer would not be caught on his cell phone.
Yeah,
he doesn't
even
know how to use his cell
doesn't
phone.
Know doesn't know how to change settings.
Doesn't know what a phone is.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, who's the real classy one here, Baker?
Let's finish up our last segment. We have our Monday reading. It's going to be a short one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a short one, but we needed to do it. Rick Pitino, as we've talked about, he's on Twitter. He's on Twitter.
And not only is he on Twitter, but he is. Is Rick Pitino good at Twitter?
He might be good at Twitter. So will you be the judge? So we are going to do Monday reading Rick Pitino's Twitter. Let's trade off tweets.
Okay.
So I'll start because he's only done five, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that right?
Yeah. So
he's
you,
done five tweets.
You
yeah.
want to take it from right. the top?
I'm going to take it from the bottom.
Okay.
Chronological. So people can get a little setting here. For years, I have stayed away from Twitter because there was very little positivity. How would he know that if you stayed away from Twitter?
Because he had a burner account?
Okay, all right. I will stay completely away from cynicism and destructive words. Yeah, right, dude. Be online for more than a week, and I love when new people come on Twitter. Like, hey, I'm going to make sure this is just positivity only.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till someone either sends you a porn link, like some hot chick is like, hey, come on my chest. I live right near you. And then you click on it, and you're like, fuck. Or wait till someone starts trolling you. And the positivity will go away.
Wait until Rick Pitino discovers what DMs are.
Yeah.
Cool. Things are going to go sideways real quick.
I hope to bring a spirit of optimism, which is so needed today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is great. So his first statement on Twitter is bashing the entire platform and saying, I don't want to be here right now, but you know,
yeah.
I figured I could help me sell a few
I'm
books.
Just going to be positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, second one. All right, Petuitos.
Sorry for the couple of bio spelling mistakes yesterday. The graphic designer never heard of me. So a little dig at the graphic designer, making nice. Excuses already.
Yep.
I trusted the graphic designer too much.
He said he knew C++.
Yeah. But this is gold because he coined the term Petuitos.
Woo!
So anybody online, whether you like it or not, if you follow Rick Pitino, you are now a Petuito.
You are a Petuito.
And that's a title that you will carry with you for the rest of your life. It's like herpes.
Yes. All right. I'm going to skip this next one because it's just a promo to go to some fucking, I don't know what it is he's doing. All right. So second to last one. All right, Petuitos, start your day off with a healthy bowl of these. They're verified. So it's kind of like Tony and Tiger. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's new pumpkin spice flavor. Get your morning started right. Petuitos. It's a bowl of cereal. It says free spell check inside every box. That is.
There's a lot going on in that one.
There's a shitload to unpack.
Yeah.
The pumpkin spice flavor.
That's just a dig at like an online culture.
I guess.
He's already fitting in really well.
Yeah.
I think that they copied the layout of the cereal box from. The Progressive insurance boxes that they have in the store that Flo does the commercials on.
Yeah. He also just, do you see what he did to us? He made us the Petuitos, then he made Petuitos a cereal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just going to eat us.
So wait, am I a cereal?
I think so.
What's all this white liquid that we're floating around in?
Rick, it's too early for this.
Yeah, they're frosted.
It's early in the morning, and you're just pouring this thick light white liquid all over us.
And then
don't make those jokes anymore.
We don't.
That's the best part about this.
And then his most recent was a picture of him with God knows who.
I thought it was Dickie V for a minute.
Perfect. We should be so lucky. And he's wearing
some white man in a place of a lot of power.
Yes, and Patino's wearing white pants, which is great for camouflage in case you have an accident.
Also great because classic Pitino rule breaker. It's after Labor Day.
But it's also pants. But it's also in Miami.
Okay.
So I feel like you can wear white.
Please. No, you cannot.
Everyone in Miami is a virgin.
No, you cannot.
And he says, enjoying the Dolphins game. Laces out, Petuitos. So he's really...
Classic.
He's really going to stick to this Petuitos thing.
The cereal / all his followers.
Yes.
What an arrogant fuck to name all of his followers something. Like, I don't want that. I follow you, Rick.
No.
I enjoy your tweets.
Are you kidding?
I don't want to be a Petuito.
I wear it as a badge of honor.
You want to be a Petuito, Hank?
Yeah.
You're down for being Petuitos?
Me and Hank are Petuitos till we die.
Fine, I'll be a Petuito.
All right, thanks. Yeah,
we should make some shirts.
Yeah,
proud Petuito.
Yeah,
proud Petuito. Proud Petuito. 2018.
Ask me about Rick Pitino's Twitter account.
Yeah, proud Petuito. And then on the back, just spread optimism. I don't even know what Twitter is.
Spread optimism, not semen.
Proud Petuitos. We should make. Yeah. Okay. All right, fine. I'm a Petuito. You know what? I shouldn't have fought it. Yeah. That was like an angsty teenager being like, "No, I don't want to do this."
When Rick Pitino gives you a label, you take it.
All right, fine, Rick. I proudly serve. I humbly and proudly serve you as a Petuito, reporting for duty, sir.
Yes.
Spread optimism around the world. Okay, that's our show. Wednesday, Gordon Hayward, get excited!
Oh, breaking,
awesome interview.
Breaking moves.
Yeah. Breaking moves.
The Orlando airport was just ranked number one.
Fuck yes.
Of all city airports in the United States.
And the Stairway to Heaven got renovated.
Yeah, congrats. We did it, guys.
Yes.
Number one.
Beautiful.
I love it.
If you ever find yourself in Florida, make sure you stop by the Orlando airport and see the Stairway to Heaven. The Chili's with the escalator that goes up. And one that goes down.
And one
too.
On the other side.
Yeah, which I didn't remember.
A lot of people forget. They think once you get up there, you're stuck. And you know what? You wouldn't really mind it if you were.
Nope. I stay there forever. All right. We'll see you guys Wednesday. Gordon Hayward.
Love you guys.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.